Christmas means there are no strangers. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday, and if by this point in the week you are starting to feel overwhelmed by your job, your duties, your responsibilities, if you're carrying around a heavy burden right now, if you feel like you got the weight of the world on your shoulders, would you please laugh today? Find ways of laughing, deep belly laugh, read something funny, read a cartoon, have somebody tell you a joke, share a joke with somebody else. That is wonderful. Laughter is the music of the heart. Laughter is pain turned inside out. Laughter is the shock absorber of life's hard knocks. You don't stop laughing because you've grown old. You've grown old because you stop laughing. And you don't necessarily laugh because you feel good. You feel good because you laugh because it releases natural painkillers called endorphins. You gotta laugh, folks. Laughter is the best medicine. Well, all this year, every Wednesday, I celebrate Christmas. And why not? Christmas is not a date on the calendar. Christmas is a way of life. Christmas is an attitude. Christmas is a mentality. Christmas is a way of celebrating the most important person who ever walked the face of the earth, and that is Jesus Christ, and we celebrate his birth. The birth. We divide history between B.C. and A.D., before Christ and in the year of the Lord. At least we Christians do that. So why not celebrate Christmas? And the way I've been celebrating and will continue to celebrate Christmas this year is share with you a Christmas song. A song, not only will I share the words with you, but I will share with you the history of the song. And the song I'm going to share with you today is Away in the Manger. Away in a manger. Here's the words. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky, and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay, close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Now the story behind it. You know, many Christmas carols are bathed in so many different legends that separating fact from legend becomes almost impossible. Such is the case with the beautiful and simple carol that tells the story of a baby Jesus lying in a manger that first Christmas night. Along with Jesus Loves Me, Away in a Manger is one of the first songs that Christians teach children in Sunday school or church. With only three short verses and a very simple tune, it is no small wonder that little ones learn it long before they can read. The beautiful and serene picture painted in the carol's lyrics defines peace on earth better than most books or sermons. In 1887, American hymn writer James R. Murray entitled the tune to Away in the Manger as Luther's Cradle Hymn. Murray further stated in his popular songbook, Daintly Songs for Little Lads and Lasses, that Martin Luther had not only written Away in the Manger, but had sung it to his children each night before bed. As the song spread across the growing America and people began to sing it at home, in churches and at schools, they often envisioned legions of German mothers rocking their babies to sleep each night with the strains of Away in the Manger. As the song became more popular, some news reports even trumpeted the song's Teutonic heritage and the powerful inspiration that obviously could come from only the great Martin Luther himself. Ironically, not only did German mothers of this era not sing Away in a Manger, they had never heard of it until the song arrived in Europe from its country of origin, the United States. Where Murray got his misinformation on Luther remains a mystery, yet because of his outstanding reputation as a writer and publisher, the story stuck. James R. Murray studied at the Musical Institute in North Reading, Massachusetts. Under legendary teachers such as Lowell Mason, George Root, William Bradbury, and George Webb. His teachers marked their student as one of the finest young musical minds they had ever encountered. Yet Murray didn't stay the course in school. In 1862, in the midst of the American Civil War, Murray enlisted as an army musician. During the darkest days of the Civil War, he wrote his first song, Daisy Dean. Composed in a Virginia camp in 1863, the now-forgotten ditty established Murray as a songwriter. After the war ended, and armed with a wealth of new material, Murray joined the Root and Caddy Publishing House in Chicago, Illinois, as editor of the Song Messenger. In 1881, Murray moved to Cincinnati, Ohio, to work for the John Church Company, editing the Musical Visitor. He also took charge of the company's publishing department, and it was there that he happened upon Away in a Manger. 2 years before Murray had printed Away in a Manger in his children's songbook, the General Council of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in North America had published the song in their book, Little Children's Book, for School and Families. Printed in Philadelphia, Little Children's Book listed no songwriter for the words to the song. The book stated that the tune, a much different one than that used by Murray, had been provided by J.E. Clark. Well, in truth, the first two verses of Away in the Manger were no doubt written by an anonymous American sometime in the mid-1800s. The song was probably passed on orally for years before it was picked up by the Lutheran editor. By the time it was first published, no one knew the identity of the composer. In 1892, a man named Charles Hutchinson Gabriel became the music director of the Chicago Grace Methodist Episcopal Church. A poet, composer, and editor, it was in the Windy City that Gabriel wrote a legend of hymns, eventually more than 700. The composer's work included such standards as Way of the Cross, My Savior's Love, Higher Ground, and I Stand Amazed in Thy Presence. It was while he was at Grace Church that Gabriel discovered not only the version of Away in a Manger, published by the Lutheran Press and by James R. Murray, but also another unknown version that contained a third verse. He published his new edition of the carol in Gabriel's Vineyard Songs. Throughout the next two decades, the popularity of Away in a Manger grew, as did the myth surrounding Luther's authorship of the piece. Illustrations were drawn and stories were told depicting Luther singing the song to German children. As the real author never came forward to dispute the growing legend, the facts of the carol's origination became more and more diluted. During World War I, while Germany battled the United States, many groups began to sing the words to Away in a Manger with an old Scottish tune, Flow Gently Sweet Afton. This rendition might well have been a protest against any and all things German. Yet soon after the war, when most Americans had again embraced the original tune, a new songbook, Words and Song, gave a man named Carl Mueller credit as the musical composer of the song. Where the Boston publisher came up with Mueller's name is another unanswered question. Carl Mueller did not write the music to Away in a Manger. In fact, many believe that it didn't even exist. In 1945, as Americans again battled Germany in a world war, American writer Richard S. Hill sorted through the now 70-year-old mystery concerning the carol's origin. He determined that James R. Murray himself probably wrote the music long coupled with Away in a Manger. Yet as Murray always took credit when he composed the song, it is doubtful that he would have deflected the credit to Martin Luther. It's more likely that Murray was given the song and simply adapted the existing German-influenced melody into four-part harmony for his book. It also seems likely that Murray received the story of Martin Luther writing the piece from the person who originally gave him the song. Whoever he or she is, the unknown songwriter, probably didn't live to see the song reach children the world over with its poignant message. Yet while the mystery of origination remains, the song's message depicting the precious moment when a Savior came to earth, bringing peace, joy, and hope, is so strong and profound that it leapt from a single night, from a single household, to become one of the world's most beautiful Christmas messages and songs. The picture that story paints is even more profound and riveting than that of Luther singing away in the manger in Deutsch to his children. Amen to that, right? That was one of the first songs I learned growing up. Away in the manger. Anyways, I won't sing the rest for you. I'll spare you. But nonetheless, can you see why every Wednesday I want to celebrate Christmas? The songs and the background of the songs just give us more and more insight to history, to how the celebration of Christmas came about. And that, my dear listeners, I think is important. And I hope you can carry the Christmas spirit with you every day. Just not on December 25th and just not during the Wednesdays of this year, but every day. Okay, here's today's food for thought. It comes from Gordon Parks. He writes, I still dream a bit at times, but when my dreams fall apart, as they sometimes do, I don't press the panic button. What words of wisdom. Anybody who listens to my program on Mondays know I'm constantly talking about not pushing the panic button and not succumbing to your worries. Okay? Who do I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for people who have lost the ability to speak. What a heavy cross. For whatever reasons, cancer, whatever reason, they can't speak. We ask God to bless them, to protect them, to surround them with people who will help them. We ask God to help them not lose hope, not to become depressed or give in to despair. Jesus, you work with people who couldn't speak. Work big and little miracles in people who have lost their speech. Today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. The oldest son came home at Christmas time for his first vacation from college. He had made excellent grades during the first semester and was receiving a lot of praise from his family. His five-year-old little brother was upset with all the praise his older brother was getting and wanted to get into the act himself, so he loudly said to the family, I got an A in arithmetic today. His father replied, I didn't know they taught arithmetic in kindergarten. So the father asked him, what's one and one? The five-year-old thought for a moment and then replied, we haven't gotten to that yet. Want to contact me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you. Let me know if the program is a blessing in your life. I love hearing from my listeners. Send me your prayer intentions, and I will take them to prayer. If you can give me a gift, a donation to help me keep my hospital for the poor and sick open in Oaxaca, Mexico, you can make the check out to TASH, stands for the Anna C. Toller Hospital, Tash Inc., and send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And you can always visit my website at fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.